Trending Mobile Technology, episode 98, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is that awkward sound you hear when you realize it's time to record another podcast and you didn't upload last week's. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As I said, it's time for another mobile round of Trending Mobile Technology right here, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We are the home of the hashtag. And I tell you what, it is very nice to be in such a place for the simple fact that we are constantly moving onward and upward. We are trending in many, many different ways and making sure that we get you the information that all of you need. Now, really quick contact information, as always, you can contact me right here, Piper the DJ. That is the handle. It is mine. It has been that way for many years. And plug it into just about anything except Facebook. Plug it into Twitter, plug it into Gmail, plug it into Google+. Great ways to reach out to me. Unfortunately, due to my own fiasco, as I've already stated, I don't have any feedback because I just uploaded episode 97 a couple days ago. And so, you know, people haven't had an opportunity to fully respond to that, but more on that probably in the next couple weeks. I have a feeling Mr. Old School, Brian, Mr. X, I've got some other people out there that I interact with on a regular basis, will be getting back just to keep me honest and keep me accountable. Now, we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. Topping headline news in the Android arena this week. Google, without any announcement, without any presumption, they went ahead and started rolling out Android 5.1. This is not a point build. This is classified as a significant build, substantially larger than before. Evidently, the point builds, 5.02, 5.03, they weren't addressing some of the issues that we're needing. So Google just, they just started shipping it. It showed up on a device in Indonesia earlier this month, an LG, if I'm not mistaken. And that is just something that's rather interesting. Current reports are citing that Android 5.1 will start making a systematic rollout by the end of February, probably beginning of March, because Mobile World Congress is starting to pick up some speed. And I'm sure Google wants this in place by the time they have Google I.O. in May. Above the top of the list for items that 5.1 is going to address, silent mode will be added back. I don't know about you, but when I go into class, it is a real hassle for me to shut off my ringer. 5.0 did not have that capability. Fortunately, I have a couple apps that I utilize on a regular basis that do it automatically for me. But if I have a class that cancels or something like that, it is a real pain in the butt to get the ringer enabled again. General improvements on system stability. That is going to Android continues to progress. Whenever they put out a massive build, for example, going from 4 to 5, they generally have some stability issues. I've been noticing with 5.02, from 5.02 to 5.03, that a few more apps are starting to crash, and that is probably on account of stability system, various things of that nature. Further research is showing in that some of these apps are running away. It's classified as a runaway app, where when you exit out of it, after a certain amount of time, the system automatically shuts it down. These apps are not shutting down, or they are shutting down when they're not supposed to. So therefore, it's just something to do with the internal programming and some of the timing. There's also supposed to be improved RAM management. This goes back to the previous statement where after a certain amount of time of being dormant, an app will automatically shut itself down or close itself in order to free up those resources for something else. Fixing of sudden app closures, once again, previous two statements, and this is something else, or this is another one to support the previous two statements. Improved battery management. Now, this is a big one. A lot of people, a couple people have reached out to me concerning a Nexus 7 first generation that received the 5.0 update. That they're having some power issues. It's battery, quick battery drain, things of that nature. This is, and it was a known when 5.0 released on the older Nexus generations. It was cited all the way across the board that people were having battery management issues. The Nexus 7 first gen, the Nexus 4 was having some issues. Certain iterations of the Nexus 5 were having issues as well. So therefore, in response to that, Google released 5.0.1 and 5.0.2. This 5.1 build is supposed to address many of those management problems. Excessive consumption of network devices when used over Wi-Fi. There's some tethering problems with the 5.0 build, and this is supposed to address those as well. Wireless connections are being patched and fixed with this particular major build. I don't know about you, but I am a T-Mobile customer, and I notice that there are quite a few different dropouts from point A to point B, like if I'm changing from Wi-Fi to LTE and back again. I could also be in the middle of an LTE call, and then all of a sudden the call will drop for no apparent reason. This is supposed to help fix that. There's also the OK Google command functionality. That is supposed to be fixed with this. It's a 50-50 right now with the 5.0. When I was running with my Note 2, I have my device set to where if it's on in any way, shape, or form, Google Now will kick in automatically. And with the Nexus 6, I was having some problems with that, did a little bit of research. Google was made aware of that, and this the 5.1 build is supposed to patch that. There's also been some issues with notifications on certain devices. Certain flavors of the Nexus 7 and the Nexus 5 are having issues with notifications where they're not swiping away, or when you respond to them, they're still showing up the notification pane. This is supposed to address that as well. Certain sound issues are being determined or have been diagnosed, and this goes back to the silent mode where the device is not going in or out of silent mode very gracefully. It just turns into a bit of a hassle, and this sounds like more of a convenience, as well as many other improvements and changes, as well as execution of a higher material design color palette. Now, this is a good step for Google, okay? It's a move in the right direction. They're continuing to improve on their device. They're continuing to improve on their operating system. And they're continuing to make that experience for the user better and better and better. Now, it's still going to be Lollipop, okay? At this point, it's going to be 5.1 Lollipop. If you guys think back, 4.4 was KitKat, and 4.4.4 was still KitKat. 4.3 was also KitKat. And 4.2 was Jelly Bean. So this is still going to remain in the Lollipop line. I'm pretty confident that Lollipop still has a very long way to go in what they do. Google Glass, after being quiet for such a very long time, has made its reemergence. It's actually undergoing a redesign, and to a point where it might be more consumer-friendly, where at one point it was classified as niche. I'm like your typical geek. When something new comes out, I look at it and I say, ooh, I want to have that. But after the ooh, shiny kind of wears off, I kind of look at it like, yeah, I really can't support this, really can't afford it. But Google Glass, it is going through a rework. The original Explorer Edition is no longer available, but there is a new Google Glass that is being researched and developed as we speak. Another project that we haven't heard too much about until the past couple days is Project Tango, coming straight out of the Google camp. This is the spatial recognition software that Google worked on for a little bit, and then they put it on the back shelf. Now it looks like it's something that they're going to be working on again. And just to refresh everybody's memory, Project Tango, it is a space and motion application. So, for example, if you are a realtor or perhaps you're a prospective tenant and you want to go into, well, in this case, say a house and take some pictures, you know, so you can take it and show it off to some friends or the banker or something like that. You can use this app, take the picture, and it will come into a pretty good spatial measurement for you as you're taking the picture. This is supposed to do kind of something, from what I understand, it's supposed to have something associated with like a photosphere, So you stand in the middle of the room, and you take the picture all the way around, and it will give you an approximate wall-to-wall within a couple feet, obviously, of what your measurements are supposed to be. And it's supposed to if it works kind of like the way I'm thinking, it'll have some type of like sonar measurement in it to where it can measure, you know, accurately where you are in relation to the room, as well as where points A and B are as well. This could be something, a great addition to the virtual tour model that is becoming so popular with many realtors. What a realtor will do is they will load these images onto their tablet, go to a prospective client's and click through, and then they can take a virtual tour of an area to get or like a house in order to get a good feel, you know, okay, so we're going to go out on Saturday. I'm here on Thursday, so let's sit down and discuss this. I want you to see this house. It's got three bedrooms. Here's the measurements. Here's the master suite. Here's the bathrooms, etc. This could be a great tool for people, even contractors. Going in, maybe not necessarily an open field, but say you walk in, you've got a slab laid out or you've got some footings laid in or something of that nature. You go and take pictures, get measurements. It'll help you make sure that you're still on schedule and you're still pretty accurate with a lot of things that you have going on as well. As far as the accuracy, I'm pretty sure that Google's still working on this to get that up to scratch to where it needs to be. Everybody knows that when it comes to measuring, you don't want to be too far off. But in many cases, if you get close enough, you're doing all right. We're not talking like architectural blueprints, but we're talking close. I'd say plus or minus 2 feet, and I think that would be pretty good in most like demonstration situations. And of course, as always, if you have questions, you can always get your tape measure out and get it downright. But I mean, for a general overview of a building, I think this is a pretty good thing. I mean, it gives you the spatial recognition. It gives you the ability to look and see, okay, yeah, we can, you know, so we've got approximately 12 feet here. What can we do with it? And this will give you that ability. Google Now came out with a major update over the past week. They produced more cards. And for those that are into receiving Google Now notifications from your email, they have added the ability to be able to sync more of those with your Google Now account. More things like doctor's appointments, airplane, bus, transportation, plans for vacations, etc. like that. The one limitation I will place on this, it must be a Gmail account. If you try and sync like an IMAP account or a POP3 account or something of that nature within the Gmail app, it will not recognize. It's one of my biggest irritations right now because with school, I have a lot of emails that come in with appointments, you know, advisors, counselors, professors, study groups, etc. They come in, but they don't go to my calendar. Why? Because it comes into my school email instead of my Gmail account. So then I have a redirection built into my email calendar. So, you know, if it says appointment here, then send it to my Gmail, and then my Gmail will pick it up from there. It's not really a bad thing. It's just more of a hassle and a pain in the butt for anything else like that. But, you know, Google Now is making advances. It is stepping up. There's also a rumor floating around that I picked up a couple days ago where Google is going to be doing away with the proprietary Gmail app. They've been in talks with some people about revamping it, and instead of it's going to be designed to where it works more closely with Google Now. Now, for those of you who are a little hesitant about Google Now spying on your email and vice versa, you know, this wouldn't be the step for you. Obviously, it wouldn't be a mandatory thing, but that they're going to expand the capability of the Gmail app. If you are a Gmail user and you're on the Android operating system, a few months ago, I believe, while I was taking my sabbatical, the Gmail app was revamped. It was redone all the way across the board to a point where you could program a third-party business. So, for example, if I have a business account, a personal business account. I have my Gmail, obviously, in my Gmail app. I'd have to go to the Outlook app to sync up a POP3 or an IMAP. Now you can sync up POP3, IMAP, and even Exchange through the Gmail app, and it'll sync up accordingly. You don't get all of the stuff that you normally would in the POP3, IMAP, or Exchange, but you do get the email and you get the contacts and you can sync up calendars. But once again, this syncing does happen outside of Google Now. Additionally, with this revamp that Google has supposedly in the works, and I use that with air quotes, the next iteration of Gmail is supposed to go through all of your accounts that you have loaded into the Gmail app and give you the opportunity to either opt in or opt out. You can set it up to look for specific words, for example, vacation, appointment, things of that nature. If you want to filter it down like that and then drill it in, that is totally up to you. But I believe there's going to be some more customization that is built into this new mail app that Google has in the works. If this is an association with Inbox that Google had not too long ago, this could be the next step forward. I'm not fully sure because I'm not an Inbox user. They do have some of their privacy things that are in place for Inbox that I'm just not fully sold on, okay? And that's just me as a personal user. I do use Google Now. I do use Gmail. I'm very particular about what I share between my apps. And Inbox just doesn't give me that kind of control yet. So you know, we'll see what happens. I have a feeling that when the new mail app does come out for Google, that it's going to make big headline news all over the place because it is most assuredly going to be a game changer. HTC and Samsung, obviously, they're supposed to have their release or their announcements at Mobile World Congress currently scheduled for both companies on 1 March. HTC, obviously, they're going to be announcing their highly anticipated M9 or the HTC One M9, whichever way you want to look at it. And Samsung, obviously, is going to be coming through, continuing on with their Galaxy S series in attempts to overwhelm us. There are spec leaks and rumors running rampant all over the internet right now, and about every tech blogger that's worth their salt is speculating and trying to either substantiate or squash the rumors that are out there concerning these two devices. But as it stands right now, I'm interested to see what Samsung has to say. Just for the simple fact that last week I did spend a lot of time talking about Apple and their advancements over the past year and how they are quickly beating out Samsung. I've also, for the past couple weeks, gone up on Xiaomi, where they are steadily beating out Samsung. And I'm interested to see if Samsung's taking this to heart, if they're going to use their own words in the fact that they are going to be overwhelming in what they do. Personally speaking, I think that there's a lot to be desired with TouchWiz. I think there's a lot to be desired with Tizen. I think there's a lot to be desired overall with the Samsung, just for the simple fact that the skins and various things of that nature, they're just not all there. I will be extremely interested to know, with the new HTC flagship and the new Samsung flagships that come out, if they will have the Android 5.1 or if they're going to be on 5.0. And that's going to be something that we'll have to watch with interest, because as it stands right now, some of the quote unquote flagship status devices that are for Samsung are still only coming out with 4.3, some of them even 4.4, without any hopes of getting a 5.0 update anytime soon. In relation to that, there is a 5.0 release that's getting ready to roll out for the Samsung Galaxy S5 if you're on the Verizon network. That's also coming out to Rogers, if I'm not mistaken, as well. There's also a couple reports for some folks overseas where they're starting to receive the Galaxy S5 update as well to 5.0. Now remember, the S5 initially was not on the list to be updated. And when the public cried out concerning this against Samsung, they said, okay, we'll do what we can with what we have and move on from there. So the Galaxy S5 being current flagship for Samsung, they've started rolling out the 5.0 update if you're on the Verizon network. Evidently, TouchWiz got updated well enough, as well as the Verizon Slagware. AT&T, in a backward step, they have a 4.4.4 update coming out for the Galaxy S5. Not quite sure what AT&T is thinking about this. People are wanting the new stuff. They're not wanting the old stuff. And AT&T has definitely been ripped up over this as well. The OnePlus, which is a budget phone, okay? But the OnePlus has recently announced that they will be receiving 5.0 in the form of a Cyanogen Mod 11 update. For those who might not remember, the OnePlus was the you can only order it if you receive an invitation. Now they've changed it around to where every Tuesday you will be able to order it for, I believe, 3 hours a day, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the exact notes in front of me. I apologize for that. But that is also going to receive the systematic rollout of the Cyanogen Mod 11. Folks from Cyanogen Mod, they're excited about this. They've even started rumoring Cyanogen Mod 12, which is supposed to be the 5.1 equivalent. That's still in nightlies because I don't even believe the source code for 5.1 has been fully released yet. Obviously, it's overseas, and as soon as it gets deployed out to the public, someone's going to rip it down and figure out a way to make it work. There are nightlies, but there are multiple instabilities about the Cyanogen Mod 12 or the 5.1, depending on what device you're running. As always, folks, if you don't know what you're doing with this, it's best just to wait until your number comes up to receive the systematic rollout. There is help out there. I've constantly advocated for xda-developers.com, and they are a great super resource on a lot of things. But if you don't know what you're doing, it is best just to go ahead and wait. Self-driving cars made the news recently, where they are starting to really raise their head, and I want to say raise their ugly head, but they're raising their heads, and a lot of people in the United States government are raising the questions, what are we going to do if the car gets hacked? Which, I mean, if you think about it, these self-driving cars are going to be Wi-Fi enabled, they're going to be like their own little mobile hotspot. They're going to require to sync with your phone. They're going to be required to function a certain way. And anybody that knows anything about the technology world knows that anything on the internet has the ability to be hacked. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. I had a story last week about the Black phone, how it had a vulnerability showed up to it. Well, that got patched. Obviously, with smartphones, there's going to be system updates. A, how are you going to get them? B, what's it going to do? And C, how efficiently is this update going to be deployed? Once somebody finds a vulnerability in the self-driving car, it's going to be exploited to no end. I personally am interested to see how these self-driving cars turn out. Ironically, this test was run between Mercedes and BMW. Tesla, who is the advocate for self-driving cars and efficient cars, did not participate in this test, and they currently have no comment as to their security vulnerabilities. But as self-driving cars become more and more popular and become more and more aware with the public, and they actually get to a point where they're going to start making their deployment and making their way around on the streets, this is definitely going to be something that'll be on everybody's head. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to move into this? What's the next step going to be? You know, I'm interested to know what self-driving cars are going to do. Who in their right mind would want to hack a self-driving car? I don't know, but I know that there's somebody out there who's just waiting for this to happen so they can try and hack it, because I know that people get bored, and technologists, they primarily want the street cred to be able to do this. February 11th, the new unlocking standards for United States citizens deployed. And it went into effect all the way across. This has been endorsed by the FCC. If you have paid off your device, if your contract is ready to be terminated, if you are in the armed service, if you have legitimate reason for your device to be unlocked, the carrier must do it. No comment right now from the carriers as to whether or not this has gone good or bad for them, but there are a lot of people all over the place who are excited about this. I personally, my phones have been purchased outright, and so therefore it doesn't really apply to me, and it hasn't really applied to me too much. But in the long run, this is a good thing, because if you have a phone just sitting in your kitchen drawer that's not doing anything, you can get it unlocked. Throw a SIM card in it and give it to your kid. You know, hey, they're going on vacation. I want them to be able to keep in contact with me. Here you go. $10 a month, boom. If they need to call me, they have it. If they don't need to, no big deal. Another popular thing that people are doing is they're enabling the GPS on their older phones, throwing it in their luggage, locking the luggage. That way they can track and make sure that their luggage is with them if they're going on a trip or something of that nature. Also, it gives them opportunity to be able to keep track of everything else that's going on around there. And that you know, this applies all the way across the board to all operating systems, all devices that are on the wireless networks, whether it be Windows Mobile, iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. There's been a survey that went out. What smartphone do you want, and what are you willing to pay? Okay, this survey actually came off of GSM Arena. It's a phone shopping guide for all smartphones, and they broke it down to devices that are less than $200 US. 200 to 400, 400 to 600, and then they went in and they broke down every single price range. Ironically, well, actually, it's not ironically. In reality, Samsung had devices in every group, at least three, and I found it nauseating because I was tired of looking at Samsung specs by the time it was all said and done. Varying in different ranges, whether it be quality, battery life, etc. HTC had a couple in there in the higher end, as well as LG. But the funny thing was the Nexus, where they had in the $200 and $400 range, and then they had in the $500 and up. So they totally skipped $400 to $500 in the Nexus 6. I mean, a lot of people are complaining that the Nexus 6 is too expensive. There's a lot of people that have gone online and blogged via Reddit, as well as personal blogs, that they have gone away from the Nexus project on account of A, the big screen, and B, the price. They just can't go along with that, so therefore they've moved away, and so far, at least, their experience isn't showing up too awful, detrimental to what their everyday use was. Deutsche Telekom, which is an overseas European company, which is the parent company to T-Mobile. Now, for those who don't know, Deutsche Telekom is a bank. It's a financial institution based on what I'm aware of. But they're also majority shareholder of T-Mobile. And they went on the record a couple weeks ago in a blog citing that they want out of the United States market. Tom Ledger, president and CEO of T-Mobile, responded citing that if they want to go, let them go. I am of the belief, based on comments from Mr. Ledger as well as folks within the T-Mobile camp, that if Deutsche Telekom pulls out, that T-Mobile, they might lose a lot of what they have, but they will still survive. A lot of people are speculating that if Deutsche Telekom pulls out of T-Mobile, they're going to wind up folding up and they won't be able to survive, and then we'll go from four to three major providers in the United States. Right now, we do have four top cell phone providers, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, respectively. And a lot of people are speculating that if Deutsche Telekom does pull out of T-Mobile, that T-Mobile will wind up going belly up. John Ledger responded to that and said that, you know, if they choose to go where they want to go, that's fine. We will survive. The next question that comes to many people's mind is, with all the shares that Deutsche Telekom currently owns, what's going to happen if they sell all their shares. That's a lot of money you're talking about, okay? Whether they do it in bulk or whether they do it a little bit at a time, don't quite know. I believe that I read somewhere that if Deutsche Telekom does want to pull out of T-Mobile, they just can't do a bulk sell. They have to sell off a little bit at a time because they're a majority shareholder with the T-Mobile market. Also, with T-Mobile, they have started rolling out a 5.0 update to the HTC M8. I would like to think that it's in response to what I've said the past couple weeks about how HTC is going to be late to the party when it comes to 5.0. They've started rolling it out, actually, overseas. Asia started seeing 5.0 in the HTC camp, as well as some carriers domestically are starting to receive 5.0 as well. And that leads me to distribution numbers. Oh, yes, distribution numbers. Last time I reported on this, Lollipop was less than 0.1%. Now, as of today, taking a giant leap, Lollipop is at 1.6% saturation, KitKat at 39.7%, the three iterations of Jelly Bean, 4.1, 4.2, and 4.3, 18.4, 19.8, and 6.3, respectively. Ice Cream Sandwich still holding on with a 6.4, Gingerbread is still alive with 7.4, and Froyo, of course, 0.4%. Now, what does this mean? Well, obviously, carriers are starting to roll out the 5.0 update. The OEMs have finally gotten their sauce on their operating systems and rolled it off to the carriers. The carriers have finally put their sauce on it, and that is starting to deploy. From this point forward, I honestly think that we're going to see Lollipop go up, and Gingerbread, Ice Cream Sandwich, and Jelly Bean will start to decrease. Based on the story that I read earlier from AT&T, where they're starting to roll out 444 to the Galaxy S5s, I think KitKat's going to be around for a little bit. Okay, to be completely honest, I think KitKat's going to be around a little bit. I think that's going to get up over 50% at some point in time, just for the simple fact that carriers are starting to roll that out to many of their devices as we speak. Microsoft made a big move in the mobile industry this week in that they purchased Sunrise for $100 million. That's million with an M, dollars U.S. It's a company that is, it's a calendar company. And what this is, it's supposed to bring the Microsoft Exchange calendar to the mobile platform and make it a little bit more functional with, like, if you're using Outlook or something of that nature. That did get released initially as a video interview on YouTube, and since the story released, the video interview has been placed to private, so that information is no longer available. But Microsoft chief storyteller Steve Clayton interviewed Pierre Vlad, the co-founder of Sunrise, and the video showed Javier Stolero, the co-founder of another company that Microsoft also acquired named Acompli. It's something that it works together with Outlook and iOS and Android in all the calendars. And what it is, it looks like it's an attempt to bring Outlook Calendar over an Exchange to a mobile platform, no matter what mobile platform you're on, whether you're on iOS or Android or Microsoft. The big thing is, though, Sunrise was purchased by Microsoft, and I believe that that is an attempt to advance their calendar app and the Exchange calendar, as well as the Exchange functionality in the Microsoft Windows 10 that is due to be making its broad spectrum release here very shortly. I'm still waiting with anticipation, ladies and gentlemen, as to what device Microsoft is going to lead off with the Windows 10 in the mobile space. And it's going to be very interesting to know exactly how far it's all going to go. I'm going to finish up today with a little something about pens. Now, many of you have heard me go on many times about I've gone paperless, as much as possible. When it comes to note-taking, I prefer to take out my keyboard and use that. I utilize Google Keep a lot when it comes to note-taking and various things of that nature. But smart pens are evolving again, and they are making a comeback. Now, smart pens are designed in one of two ways. One, you can either buy a standalone pen and then use it like you would a regular pen on your pad of paper, and then sync it with your computer or mobile device, and then it'll offload all that information and spell correct it and write it down in a way that you can read it. Some people, they've also conducted a study citing that some people remember things better when they actually have to write it out versus type it. The Microsoft Surface Pro 3, the popularity is on the rise, especially when it comes to pen usage. Now, the Surface Pro 3 does not currently have a pen dock, but there is a pen that can be used. A lot of people are using their smart pens with the Surface Pro 3. I'm hearing lots of good things coming out of the Microsoft Surface camp concerning smart pens and writing recognition in this camp and in this environment. The Note series is also popular in this arena when it comes to smart pens. Personally speaking, I tried using the S Pen many times with my Galaxy Note 2, and the writing recognition just never really caught on. I spent more time going back and erasing and rewriting and writing again and writing again, and it just never really came up. Hence the reason why I started carrying my keyboard around with me. Now, some people look at this and say, oh, it's just graffiti all over again. Go back to the days of Palm, folks. Graffiti was what the initial pen-enabled writing was, okay? Some people still use graffiti on a regular basis. I do have a graffiti app loaded on my Nexus 6 that I utilize on occasion, but you also have to remember that you're writing on a 2x2 box, okay? So you're writing everything over and over and over again. It's not like cursive or anything like that. It's actually like you're printing everything. Current rumors concerning smart pens, Apple, on their next iteration of the iPad, is supposed to be having a pen that goes along with it for paperless note-taking. And you know, that's interesting to look at. I'm not exactly sure how far this is going to go with the folks at Apple, but they are seeing where they need to go next. And pens in tablets for a lot of people, pens in the corporate world for many people are a mainstay. If they want to get people to go to the fully digital, first off they have to do something about. But there really needs to be something done about the writing recognition. As I said, I tried using my S Pen with my Note 2 on multiple occasions, and the writing recognition just wasn't there. I know I have very poor penmanship, but I mean, out of 10 times, you're talking maybe a 50% accuracy. And I know that, you know, there'd be a little bit of education as to how to get more success with the writing recognition, things of that nature. But in order for pens to be dominant in my mind, I think that they need to do something with writing recognition. They need to step it up a little bit. They need to make it a little bit better. And I'm just interested to see what's going to happen from there. A longtime contributor, actually one of my professors, Mr. X, he reached out to me in an email and said he's got a couple old devices and he's interested to know what their longevity is going to be. He's an iPhone user and he is currently on the standard iPhone 5. And I just went ahead and I did a little bit of searching. And ironically, the iPhone 5 has popularity across the board of 5.7. That's functionality as well as usability as well as performance. The iPhone 5C is down to a 4 out of 10 straight across the board. And the iPhone 6 at a 5 and the iPhone 6 Plus at 5.5. Now, looking at this, if you had an iPhone 5, And this is going to go back to a previous comment that I made, that I continue to make, where buy your device, skip a generation, and then buy it again. So in this case, he's got an iPhone 5. He would get the next iteration of the iPhone, in this case, which would be the iPhone 7. Now, as the iPhone 5 is still running a 5.7 on 10, I think that's a very good device still. I know lots of people that upgraded from iPhone 3s and iPhone 4s to iPhone 5s just for the simple fact they can't justify the cost for an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus. And it works out because a lot of places are selling the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 5C at a discount. But with the iPhone 5 having the higher security, you know, they've got the fingerprint scanner on it and things of that nature. Current popularity, 5.7 across the board. The iPhone 5C is a 4. A lot of people saying, oh, the colors, they're not really that important to me as I initially thought they would be. So that is kind of working against a lot of people theorizing concerning the iPhone 5C and that maybe they need to work more in the functionality instead of catering to the color, you know, and giving it a colored case. The way I look at it, my devices always go in some type of protective case just for the simple fact I am a notorious klutz and I would hate to see my screen crack. I see many, many cracked screens on devices, both old and new, and it just breaks my heart because I just really don't – I'm you know, I want to see people get usage out of their devices. I don't want to see their devices last. Shocking revelation on this research because I started with the iPhone and it just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. In the Samsung camp, yes, Samsung camp, the Galaxy Note 4, currently rating an 8.2. Next in line is the Note Edge at 7.9. Galaxy S5 definitely underwhelming at 4.8, and the Galaxy S4, that's right, 7 on 10. Okay? For you HTC users that are out there, you have not been neglected. The M7 and M8 currently sitting at 8.1 on 10. Both devices cross the board claiming equal usability as well as functionality as well as performance. And then I've reported a couple times on the Mi Note and the Mi Note Pro. The Mi Note is 7.3 and the Mi Note Pro is 8.1. All of these are on a scale of 10, mind you. Okay? So, you know, it goes on performance and usability, functionality. You know, there's like 10 different categories that this score goes into. And then, of course, going into the Project Nexus. Nexus 6 coming in with an 8.1, biggest detriment going to it. The screen is too big. Many people are selling their Nexus 6s and getting Nexus 5s. Popularity for that device is up to 8.3. It's not sky high, but it is up from 8.0 just before Christmas. Now, what's next for Nexus? I'm not quite sure. I've been saying it for a while that phones are getting bigger, tablets are getting smaller, okay? I mean, that's just... I don't know. Tablets look like they're getting bigger again. I mean, because they've got 9 inches, 10 inches, 11 inches. Personally, my Nexus 7 works just fine for me. I enjoy the way that it works. I like the way it fits in my hand. I like the way it fits in my bag. It works around very well. My Nexus 6, 5.9-inch screen, folks. Next step up, if we keep going the direction that we're going, we're going to be breaking 6 and 6.5 inches. I'm interested to see what Christmas season 2015 is going to stare us with. Just for the simple fact, I'm not quite sure how much bigger we're going to go. I mean, I keep getting reminded. Brian brought it up in the last episode with his feedback. Mr. Old School has brought it up to me. I've had plenty of discussions with other people on campus as well as various other individuals concerning the size of a device. And people are getting concerned because if phones keep getting bigger, we're going to see a popularity spike on the older generation devices. Nexus 5 to Nexus 6 is a prime example. The iPhone 5 versus the iPhone 6, another prime example. The Samsung Galaxy S4 to S5, another prime example. People are talking with their decisions. They don't necessarily have to have the new hotness. They don't necessarily have the next biggest thing. They're happy with what they have. You know, whether or not they're listening to somebody citing that, hey, you know, skip a generation. You don't have to have the brand new phone. You don't have to get the new hotness. You don't, you know, you're fine with what you have for another year. Average lifespan on a cell phone, and I use this term loosely, average lifespan on a cell phone is 2 to 3 years, okay? You do have some people that are out there that will use it until it drops. I know plenty of people that are like that. This Nexus 6 looks like it's going to be working out very well for me. I just got tired of Samsung. I got tired of dealing with Samsung. Mr. Old School suggested to me, he's like, if you don't like not getting updates, switch to Nexus. And, you know, I did. I switched to Nexus. I have a Nexus 6 that I carry on my hip. I have a Nexus 7 that I carry in my pocket. what's the next iteration of Nexus that's going to come out? Is it going to be a Nexus 8? Is it going to be an 8-inch phone? Is it going to be a 6.5-inch phone? We don't know, okay? Google has plenty of other projects that they're working on right now and plenty of other things that they're trying to get sorted out as time continues on. But, you know, speaking of time... Yeah, imagine that, right? I totally forget to upload a podcast, and here I am getting this cut off shortly after 35 minutes. And I'm about out of time for today. I'm slowly closing in on episode 100. I'll be breaking three digits. I was supposed to do that a while back, but I did take a break. I took a hiatus. I had some other things happen in real life that I just had to sit back and relax from. If you're interested in showing up on a special show for episode 100, shoot me an email, piperthedj@gmail.com. I'm currently organizing a guest list. As it stands right now, I do record during the day, but for episode 100, I will probably make a special arrangement and record that in the night in the studio, just for the simple fact that I'll have a little bit more capability and a little bit more functionality to be able to handle multiple calls and things of that nature. But if you're interested in showing up for episode 100, you got some questions you want to talk about, or you just want to tell me I'm out of my damn mind, perfectly fine. Look me up on Google. Gmail, piperthedj@gmail.com. Look me up on Twitter, piperthedj, or Google Plus, piperthedj. Same handle. It's mine. It's been mine for over 10 years. I'm happy about it. I'm proud of it. Do not look for piperthedj on Facebook. That will take you to somebody else's page. Not quite sure who this cat is, but it is not me. All right? So you have three other outlets to get a hold of me at, and we can just move on from there. Now, once again, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We got the DSJMP WrestleCast. We've got Old School at the Movies. We've got All Wine Aside. We've got BYOB. We've got Anything Goes. We've got NFL Easy Picks. We've got, oh my goodness, Cerebral Satire. We've got the Spanish Announce Table. We got Trending Mobile Technology. We've got a lot. I'm not joking. We have a lot. We're not doing anything except getting bigger and better. We are the home of the hashtag Trending Topics. What is a trending topic? It's a hashtag, and it's a topic that expands and goes out faster than some people can count it. Okay? Most of the shows that we have on our network have their own hashtag. Give them a listen. Shoot them a tweet, shoot them an email to figure out what their hashtag is, and you can communicate with them directly. And those social media aspect will definitely get out on the airwaves, folks. Trending Mobile Technology does not have a hashtag for the simple fact that hashtag TMT, hashtag Trending Mobile, hashtag Mobile Tech, hashtag Trending Technology, all of that stuff is already taken and used on a regular basis. So, just mention me in an at, okay? At Piper the DJ, find me, and then we'll move on from there. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.